This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kick-off, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday week. Five friends, one football club, and about six jokes they just repeat over and over and over and over and over.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. An upbeat episode today because, we've got a win under our belt. We're all about to watch Prince Andrew go down. We've actually arranged to meet early to watch Prince Andrew go down. And also on the same week, they've locked up that absolute monster DT from fan-led outlet Arsenal Fan TV. It just goes to show you don't know who it is who's going to be on these podcasts and whatnot. But anyway, good evening and welcome to the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Fodge. Are you all right? We've got no Ash visuals tonight because he's wearing his tutu because he's just got back from the ballet. That's right, Ash.
Yeah, something like that, mate, you know.
Yeah. I don't want to know. I don't want to smell
you. No, you don't, mate. It ain't pretty.
All right, well, we've also got Vic. We've also got Stevie. Sorry, I keep calling you Steve, don't I? And I know that's not your name, Stevie. I'm sorry, pal.
All right, you call me what you want, mate.
Princess Buttercup. That's what I'm gonna plump for. Now, as I said, we've joined early tonight because we all want to watch the documentary on ITV 1 at 9 p.m. this evening. So we're gonna crack straight on with it. And is it now the fourth time of asking, Stevie? The fourth time of asking, we've finally managed to put some goals past Plymouth. How's that working out for us?
Fourth time. I cannot believe the difference in performance. I don't know if it was us. And I said this to my mate, I was having a chat with him, the lad that I go with. I don't know if we were just really, really good or that they were just really, really shit, to be honest with you. I think it's probably fallen in the middle of both sort of camps, if you like. I thought we were outstanding, relatively speaking, in terms of enjoying the way that we played on Saturday. I really enjoyed it. But I don't know if they just didn't turn up or what happened. But I thought we were excellent.
Well, Plymouth have no been shrinking. I'll start that sentence again, kids. Plymouth have been no shrinking violet this season at all. I mean, they've been going great guns in the league, or as well as we have. But every time we seem to have come up against them, we've come a cropper. It's been an absolute mess. Now, Ash, the game itself. I mean, Steve poses a great question there. Were we great, or were they just gash?
No, I think we were great. I mean, the first 20 minutes, I think. Polar opposites from the last two games previous. Absolutely, totally different. It was on the front foot, and I think, I don't know, obviously we've played Plymouth three times before, so they must have known what to expect, but I think we were totally different from them three previous games, which could have, I don't know, unsettled them. The first half, we scored, and it was like, totally, Plymouth did not even register that we'd scored. They didn't even try. It was nothing. The first goal in three games against them, and it was great. It was good. I was really impressed, and I don't say this very often, but I was really impressed with the start.
That's why he's struggling, isn't he? He's trying to be positive, but it's eating away at him.
Are you all right, dear pal?
Prince Andrew.
Don't worry, there's negatives coming.
That's why you're here, pal.
No, it was good to see, totally. And I don't know how you guys felt, but I thought with the previous games against Plymouth, I thought it was going to be a struggle, but obviously no Ryan Lowe there anymore. He's gone on to pastures new. And it was really refreshing to see, a really good start. And like I say, it was a cracking game, cracking day.
It really was. Now, Vic, a player that stood out for me during this game was Nathaniel Mendes-Ling. You know what I mean? And fair play to him. You know, he's the rumours were that he'd come to the club under a cloud after leaving Cardiff for what was reported by people on Twitter. I mean, this is allegedly, don't get me wrong, that he was on the nosebag. Now, if that's true, I don't know. But, you know, fair play, because I can't run when I've had a paracetamol. So fair fucks to him if he's done it off his tits, like, you know what I mean? But, I mean, no, seriously, he was great, wasn't he? He was an absolute cut above.
He was outstanding. And he's massive, isn't he? He'd make you and Stevie look little.
Oh, he's a big
stack. Absolutely huge. But, yeah, he doesn't run like a big lad. Do you know what I mean? He's quick and he's clever and, yeah, loved it.
All right, get your digs in. Is that, you know what I mean? Is that because me and Steve can't run? Is that, I mean, what are you
Steve
like?
Steve can run. I've seen Steve run.
Well, you know.
Hobble.
Can you imagine you run like Louis Spence? Anyway.
Hey, the only time you'd seen me running was from the security guards in Meadowhall back in 1996.
I think, he was outstanding. I think quite a few players stood out. One player for them that I think is the only reason that it wasn't an absolute cricket score was their keeper. If you look at some of the saves he made, they were absolutely phenomenal. And I looked him up, and I've just double-checked it again now, and he's only 22. He's their keeper. I said, because at the time, my mum said, God, he's good, him, isn't he? And I said, yeah, he must be like one of these. In this league, a lot of keepers are on loan, aren't they, from like Premier League, Championship clubs. But no, he's homegrown from Exeter, from Plymouth sort of way. He was absolutely brilliant. I'd definitely keep an eye on him if I was Darren Moore. I would be keeping an eye on him. Other than that, absolutely fantastic. And I thought the shining light is always when Luongo's back in the team, isn't it? And it just allows Bannon that space. And having Hutch back as well was just like two new players. We say that every time that they both get injured and then come back, but it was.
They were very much missing links. Now, Steve, Barry Bannon, as Vic mentioned there, had the opportunity to push forward. And I think I've said it a number of times on this show and probably as it's fallen out of my mouth onto Twitter. I always believed that we should play him in a more advanced role. But what happens is when he gets the mug on, he drops back, wants to do it all himself. We've discussed it to the nth degree on this programme alone. Now, did you feel that having Luongo gave Bannon that confidence in order to push forward? I mean, all right, yeah, he ballooned a lot. He fluffed his lines on a good few chances, but I've not seen him have many clear-cut chances like that before.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think there was a definite shift in the position that he was playing. And he was certainly the other sort of 15, 20 yards, the other side of the halfway line, if you like. And I think the fact that Luongo was there as a sort of an insurance policy allowed him to do that. I think... To be honest with you, I know that people will clamour when fully fit for maybe a return of Dennis. I actually like the balance of that middle three. I think Dele Bashiri offers that youth and that box-to-box sort of energy. But I think Luongo, as Vic has said, and as we've sort of alluded to, Luongo brings an absolute, totally different dynamic to the entire team, breaks things up, is aggressive. You can see that when he's not going to win a tackle or he's not going to get there, he's going to do everything he can to just ruffle the feathers of the opposition. And that's something that we don't necessarily have. We don't have players that have got that discipline or that experience or even that ability to go out there and say, right, I'm going to get somebody to, I'm just going to put them off. So they're going to end up fluffing their lines. I thought Bannon, and I know, dare I say, I know Ash probably won't agree with me. I thought Bannon was excellent on Saturday. Allowing him to play a bit further forward. Yeah, there you go. Allowing him to play a little bit further forward. I thought, was it Saturday? I put on the chat and you just shot me down straight away. But I just thought he was really, really good. He fluffed his lines in front of goal. But, you know, if you fluff your lines when you don't remember him, and it's been that long since he's played that advanced, I'd say there's an argument that give him 2-3 games, he's going to potentially, if he keeps playing in those positions, he's going to start threatening the goal. He's going to start getting shots on target. There was one that he bent second half that just went just wide of the left post. On another day, that curls into the top corner. It's goal of the season contender. I thought Bannon was really good. I thought the middle three were really good on Saturday. I think 4-2 flattered them. One thing I would say, just going back to Mendes Lang, that sort of struck me was he's come under a cloud, if you like, to the club. And we've signed a certain other player that has come with a point to prove, perhaps. And I just think the difference that we saw on Saturday to a certain striker that once allegedly commanded £25 million fees was absolutely night and day. And I think, you know, when we signed Berahino, we were looking at somebody coming in and potentially taking their chance to get the career back on track, if you like. And even if it was just a short-term thing for him to say, right, Sheffield Wednesday is a shop window and I'm going to try and get that transfer back to the Midlands with a Championship club, whoever that may be or whatever that may be. It's not happened for him. And I think Mendes Lang on Saturday, absolutely phenomenal, absolutely outstanding. Set up the first goal. There was never a doubt in my mind when he got the ball on the halfway line or the ball was played through on the halfway line before the second goal. There was never a doubt in my mind he was going to score. And I know we're going to wax lyrical at some point, whether that be tonight or in the future, but we'll talk about Corbinu. I've got a fair few viewpoints on whether or not we're going to miss Corbinu based on what I've seen on Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve, actually, before he put that ball in the net for the second one, Mendes Lang, he actually had a chance that was, and when I say carbon copy, it was exactly the same. He cut inside, sent the defender for a bag of chips, tried to curl one in the far post, and he missed it. And then he did exactly the same for the goal. You know what I mean? He knew he had a formula. It was, you know, it was working for him. And I think what you were saying about Luongo and Bannon, normally, when FDB is in the team, when Fizz is in the team, you kind of go, do you know what? He's actually put a shift in. And I think that Luongo Bannon made FDB look a bit average, as daft as it sounds. If I had any critique of any of the players, it just didn't give the opportunity for Fizz to do what he can do because he had such quality around him. Not that I'm saying that he had a poor game by any stretch of the imagination. He just made to look poor because you had the two around him that I thought looked great and Mendes Lang, who looked, well, a man possessed. You know what I mean? And then, right, Ash, I'm going to come to you next, but I'm going to go to Vic first, right? Because I know you've probably got some critique and, you know, we're a well-rounded show and all the rest of it. But Vic, I've got to talk to you about Silasso. Now, scored the first one, came in, and I'd love to see his goal to minutes or game started ratio. You know what I mean? He seems to have been a bit part player when it comes to like the League Cup and the Pizza Trophy and the like, but he's not delivered, has he?
Not even on Wikipedia. Have I spelt that right? No, I haven't. He's just been one of these that's just kind of floated about, hasn't he? It was a bit of a random signing. I remember when we signed him and they did the big surprise and all that, and then he just kind of petered away. Like, it was just a very odd one. I assume he's not a major money earner. I don't know. But, yeah, I thought he was decent. I don't think he stood out as much as some of the others.
He did start to go missing as the game went on, didn't he?
Yeah, which is just how the style of play changed as well, I think. But, like, I looked at the stats and we had something like 20 shots on Saturday. And mm-hmm. I think half of them were on target, which is just...
We had 22 to their 3. That's what we did.
Yeah, and they scored 2. So, you know.
Well, I'm gonna get Ash picked that up.
But I think, didn't we hit the woodwork a couple of times as well? And it was all just very scrappy, wasn't it? And their second goal, to me, at the time, looked like a foul on Peacock Farrell, but I've not watched the highlights back yet for some reason. But yeah, I think he looked good. Whether or not he's a first team regular or starting regularly, I don't know. But then would he come on as an impact sub? I've not seen enough of him to
I just think that since when we've used him in the way that we have, and we haven't, this is the first time we've put him up against, no disrespect to the team's quality opposition, he's delivered again. And you just kind of think, have we written him off wrong. You know what I mean? I reckon he's probably going to end up being the League One 2022 version of someone like O'Neill Donaldson when they go and we go, actually, he weren't that shit. You know?
It looks like he's had 10 appearances for us.
And how many goals he got?
Like three.
I'd argue that's as good as probably Gregory.
For a winger, he's not playing up front in the majority of those games. And I think that's all right.
All right. Ash, I know you've probably got some notes. did 3-2 4-2 flatter them or flatter us?
Oh, definitely flattered them, didn't it?
Well, that's not where I thought you were going to go. But it's a good start.
No, I thought you were going to come to me about Silas out. When the group of guys and everyone I go with, we saw the team obviously thing and went, what the hell? Another Darren Moore bingo. And it was like, what's doing? But hold my hand up. I've seen him in the Pizza Cup and the League Cup, and nothing out of them games would have given me any sort of inkling that he'd met the first 11 at any time. Honestly, really not saw anything from him that would say he'd be a starter. But I've got to say, hold my hands up, he came on and he was like a different person from last time I watched him. He seemed like he knew what he, I know it sounds stupid, knew what his job was, knew what he had to do, like the instructions. He took his goal well, no complaints there. And yeah, I agree with what you said, Dan. He did fade as the game went on, but 10 games he's played, but how many has he started? Not that many.
Yeah.
So it's always going to happen. But yeah, I've got no complaints with, he did a job, didn't he? He's been put in and scored. That's what you can't ask for much more, and that's what you want with anyone that been brought in that's not a usual first teamer.
Absolutely. So yeah, you're a lot happier when you're naked on webcam, aren't you?
That's how he's earning his side money. That's why he's in the hotel.
He's doing OnlyFans.
Yeah, Ash is a cam girl.
The Wednesday week at 8, OnlyFans at 9.
Right, now, Ash, come on now. Now, 22 shots on goal against their 3, right? Mm. And we had 8 corners. So that means 14 shots have come from open play or set piece in front of
the goal. Yeah.
Come on, man. What went wrong? What's up with it?
Nothing was wrong with it, was it? At all. It was a great all-round performance. I think everyone did their job. I don't know what thing that's for, and this is the negative, obviously.
Well, that's what we're waiting for, Ash. Come on, pal. Hit it on me.
I don't know if everyone might agree, but what is the difference from the last two games to this? What's changed? Why the performance, the battling, the tackling, the passing, the attacking thoughts and performance? Why have we not done that in the last two games?
I can give you two names, and one of them is Nathaniel and the other one's Massimo. But yeah. Are you talking in terms of something more cerebral, like the attitude?
Yeah, the attitude. Obviously, we can say Hutchinson, Luongo coming back, brilliant. Of course, new players coming in, and it will change the team and the thought process. But the other 9 players or 8 players, and Silasau, obviously, he's not played. Why has it took 2 absolute abysmal performances to get that we had on Saturday? It shouldn't be like that. It should be. So it's, and I don't know what Darren Moore said. If he said anything, I mean, he's in his post match, he says that he doesn't change. It doesn't matter what the result was. He goes level. He talks to them as exactly the same. If it was a win or a loss, he's down. He knows what he's doing. The last game, you forget, we move on. That's my only, the only, it's not a negative, but obviously it's just a why. Why?
I personally, and I'll say it, I think the major difference, and we've said it all night, I think the major difference is Luongo. And I think the major difference, Luongo is the major difference because it allows Bannon to play further forward. And what I mean by that is Bannon will have a style of play where he has to have a certain type of influence over the game, over the team. He gets derided by fans because he wants to be the go-to guy. He wants to be the playmaker, but he wants to be the playmaker either square off, behind, or a yard in front of the back line. And by Luongo playing, it allows Bannon to go and do his little bits further up the pitch. And that automatically makes us a more direct team. It makes us a more progressive team. It makes us play on the front foot a little bit more. I think Hutch coming in the middle of the three offers a balance that it has been fantastic for the back three. And the back three played really well as well. Palmer was Palmer, and that's all I'm going to say on him tonight. Hutch being Hutch was Hutch.
Had to adjust yourself there, Stevie, when you said that.
I think the guy at the back three on Saturday, as excellent as Hutch was coming back in, I was really impressed with Marvin Johnson. You know, he came and played centre half at the start of the season. We've all gone, what the fucking hell's going on here? And then all of a sudden he seemed to settle in when we went on a bit of a run. And then just when results got a little bit desperate just before Christmas and over the Christmas period, I think he's obviously had an injury as well. The polish kind of came off it a little bit, but I thought he was outstanding again on Saturday. I thought he linked up well with Mendes Lang. I don't necessarily think it's been anything that Moore has said per se. And this points to the fact that I've made previously, we can be really, really fickle, because if we'd have drawn the game on Saturday, or, you know, Luongo hadn't played, or whatever would have happened had happened, we'd be sitting here tonight going, Moore still ain't got a clue. This ain't right. We'll be pulling at this side or the other. The reality is we were excellent on Saturday. I know I said, were we good or they poor? I thought we were excellent. I thought it was a performance of the season.
That's my issue with it, Steve. Like, you know what I mean? We have said a number of times on this show once again. I mean, if you know regular listeners, you'll realise that it's just the same gags over and over again. But it's also the same content apparently now. But you know, we've said a few times that this squad that we've got is one of the best squads in the league. It really is. And what Darren Moore's managed to do is not get a tune out of them, and that's what's annoying me. You know what I mean? We are capable of, like Ash says, we're capable of those results that we got on Saturday, but we nearly fucked it up. You know what I mean? We still conceded like that.
And I agree with Stevie said, Luongo. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. I think he's one of the best midfielders in the league. I would put money on that. If he plays the rest of the season, it will make us a hell of a lot better. But why should it just be one player that makes us that performance? Why should one player have that big an impact on a team when we have got, like you said, one of the best squads in the league?
The problem is, when he doesn't do it, who does?
We can talk about
having great players, and we have got some fantastic players. We've also got players that we put on a pedestal, and we can talk about Dennis, for example. Dennis' start of the season was absolutely phenomenal. How does he get, based on what I've seen Saturday, where does he come in? Do you know what I mean? Is he actually that? And I know this sounds ridiculous, and I haven't been drinking till half an hour ago, but is he actually that good? As good as we thought he was at the start of the season? Or, you know, when we've got our first team fit and firing, does Dennis get in that first side? We've talked about Sal. Does Sal play in front of Canberra? Do either of them play in front of Windass? Probably not. You know, are we going to miss Corbin? We've now got Mendes Lang in. What did we think of Jack Hunt the other day? Jack Hunt was outstanding. Again, the ball that he put in for Hutch's goal, phenomenal. You don't get crosses like that in League
Jack
One.
Jack Hunt is far, far too good for this league. I've said a million times. He is far too good. The only reason we've managed to get him is because he's been here before. I genuinely think that is the only reason that we've won the battle over other people.
It was his first few games, he was awful. It was like he was washed up. And then Cambridge away, things like that. But he has, is I don't know if he's working harder in training, got fitter or what, but yeah, absolutely turned his season around. I think he has been a cracking signing. Really do.
It really has.
Given the starting 11 and the big players that have been missing and the players that we've got missing, you know, now that they're all coming back, to come full circle on it, when they're all in you know, we've got to argue about Dunkley coming back. If Dunkley comes back in, we've got to talk about Iorfa coming back in. You assume he's going to come back in. Windass will get fully fit. Is he going to go and lead the line with Gregory? Once we've got this full complement of a squad and it starts firing, if it is going to start firing, which we would assume that it probably is now, if we can keep Luongo fit and Hutch fit, two questions, is it too late? And second question is, all these people that have been calling Moore out for having no plan B and this, that and the other, what sort of tune are they going to be singing in the middle of February when we go on another run and we've got 12 points out of 12?
I think what we've seen, Steve, in answer to your question, I think what we've seen is the last few months with Luongo and Hutchinson out, we've been watching plan B. And that's what's not been working. Our plan B is crap. I think what we saw on Saturday was the closest to plan A we'll got with, like you say, your Dunks in the Iorfas in. Because I feel like FDB would probably make way for Hutchinson to drop into midfield and one of those two will drop into the centre-back position. You know what I mean? And you know, we still threw away a lot of points and from a winning position in this league. And that for me, and I'm going to use this word again, is a more cerebral issue. And I don't think it's a more problem per se that he's introduced it. I don't think he's done anything about it. I think what we've, what the issue is that we've got is that I was genuinely worried. When they scored that free kick, I thought, here we go. I was worried because of what I've seen in terms of the mental state that these players are in when something don't go their way. And like I say, we've discussed it again. The crowd start getting on their back and go, for fuck's sake, here we go. You see it on Twitter, don't you? Oh, here we go again now. This is what's happening. Well, for fuck, it's all gone to piss and shit. And that's what happens. And I was worried about that happening when they scored that pretty phenomenal free kick.
Brilliant goal.
Yeah. A third of their shots was an absolute thunder chuff. You know what I mean? So in terms of Darren Moore, I think what he needs to do is got the squad, and I've got no real issue with the transfer policy and the recruitment that he's done. If anything, it's been one of the better transfer times we've had back since we started, back since Carlos had a dream. You know what I mean? Our recruitment's been very poor. But I think that what Darren Moore needs to do is concentrate on the mental side of the game, because when something doesn't go our way, we lose our heads. And what Luongo's and Sam Hutchinson's influence did on that team on Saturday was allay that fear. Because, and it all comes back round, and it'll all come back to Barry Bannon losing his mind when it doesn't go his way. And because, for example, we've spoken about, Ash has said it before, where every ball has to go through Bannon, right? Now, it doesn't, but what Barry, because he's so vocal and because he's a winner and because he's a champion and he wants to succeed, he will demand that ball. Whereas Luongo and Hutchinson, they'll go, fuck off, pal, I'm going to pass it over here. And Barry will go, all right, fair, and then move into another position. That's the way football works, you know what I mean? But whereas I think Barry's huge mental presence on the team has been a negative influence, and that's not really what he's trying to do. It's just a side piece. Sorry, Ash, go on.
So do you think that the going forward from Saturday onwards to the end of the season, Luongo is going to be probably the most important player of the club?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I do as well. Just early in the game against Rotherham, when he was outstanding again, but obviously got injured because his legs are made of rich tea. And on Saturday, and two games that he's basically, and they say about people, players influence the game, changing the game, they can change a game. He can influence and change a game by just doing his job. Do you know what I mean? Not doing anything special. Well, special by the way he plays, but nothing, do you know what I mean? Like Hollywood or think he'll do his job. He'll attack. He made the most tackles. He made the most passes. He made the most complete passes on Saturday. His stats, I'm crap at stats, like, but stats were phenomenal for a guy who's been out injured and obviously red carded.
He nearly did games. When he got booked early doors again. I thought, oh, here we go.
But now, there you go. He's going to have that side, isn't he, as well?
Oh, so absolutely.
Instead of Hutch Bingo now, it's going to be Massimo Bingo.
Massimo Bingo.
That's a lot of back-end alliteration I can't do. Now, Vic, friend of yours, his chin is as square as a bird's eye Findus crispy pancake box. Won't celebrate a goal in League One.
No.
but I tell you what, hell of a goal, wasn't it?
Great goal. I mean, he's one of those players, like we've said this when he was first like playing with us, and he was scoring a lot, and we were kind of like, he was a bit of a McLean character, like you just always think he's going to score. Like if he doesn't, like Gregory didn't score on Saturday, which just seems mental when we had 22 shots and 4 goals. Like how come Lee Gregory didn't get one of those? That's insane. But he just feels like one of those players, like he comes on and you think, oh, any minute now. It's more of when rather than if, which I feel like I've said so much this week about bloody COVID. Like, not, so it's, but yeah, it just, what a goal. Obviously not allowed to celebrate today because his dad told him not to.
I did wonder. I tweeted that.
What is that bollocks?
His dad has told him, because he got relegated, he's not allowed to celebrate a League One goal.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thanks. He's going to score for us and not celebrate.
No, but did you see Barry Bannon dragged him over to the crowd and went, you can celebrate with him.
I think he's also, celibate. I mean, we've discussed this before, and we talk about it quite a lot in the group chat, but he's also a bit of a prick, isn't he?
So, yeah, he is. He's an idiot.
he's a bit harsh.
Oh, no,
he's a fucking moron. Did you see him lose his head the other night about Ronaldinho and Neymar?
Just a bit of a keyboard warrior, isn't he? He's obviously sat at home waiting for his painter and decorator in Sheffield that he tweeted about. And I've told him, I'll do it. You know, it's not a problem.
It's a good job, he's pretty.
That's a good sign as well, though, isn't it? If he's getting a painting and decorator in Sheffield.
Yeah, but you do have to redecorate before you move when you rented somewhere. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, mate, you're going to start rumours across the interwebs now, aren't you?
No, I think obviously they got their second and it was 3-2. And it's like Dan said, for their first 2-1, it's like, oh, no. And then Stevie's mate pulled out a blinder of a Hail Mary and good touch by Windass, good finish. So, yeah, but he was there, weren't he? Came on. 4 minutes later, scored.
I thought it was amazing. If it's easy for you, I used to play football with a kid called Neil Froggatt. He's in my brother's year at school, right?
Yeah.
And we used to play five-a-side up at Pitts is it still called that? Power League or whatever it is now.
Power League.
And that kid could hit a ball like I've never seen anything like, right? And he could smash it in from his own corner, dead straight as an arrow. And I go, why don't you do that all the time? And he'd go, it's not football though, is it? Pal. Let's get 5-0 up and then we can start dicking about. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's the same with Windass with that goal. You're like, well, if you can do that, do it more. Do you mind?
I think it was his first chance, the real chance as well. So fair play. And then obviously 4-2, it's like a little bit of a sigh of relief, but then there's always just one eye on the clock as well if they get another, which is bad.
Saturday felt like a long day as well, despite the win. You know, because I got there dead early because they told you to get in at like 1 o'clock. Oh. I stood at North Stand at 1 o'clock. There weren't a bar open upstairs, so I had to stand next to a bin and nobody else was there. My mum and dad just went to the pub instead, didn't tell me, because I said, oh, we'll meet inside at 1 o'clock then and get a beer and a pint. They went, oh, pub's busy, we'll go in here, and just didn't tell me. So I'm just stood with my bin, like I sent you all the photo of. And it just, by 20 minutes in, I honestly felt like I'd been there all day.
That's amazing.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I tell you what, actually, I will reach out to listeners if any of you had any issues getting in with your COVID passports. I didn't see anything about it, I must admit. Nobody were whinging. No. And I must admit, I know Wednesday fans on Twitter like a whinge. You know what I mean? And I didn't hear one of them go, bloody COVID passports. What's the matter?
No, I was all right. I mean, they checked it and everything and made sure my phone was whose it was and everything. So, yeah, no issues.
I got checked and then he like tried to zoom in on it. And I was like, you can't zoom in on it. It's in my Apple wallet. I don't know how I've done that.
That's because you got there so early. You're the first person he checked that day.
I think he was just really excited.
Yeah, and he's like,
somebody.
Oh, what's this? Yeah. Never seen one of them before.
Customers,
isn't it? isn't it?
It was an interesting dynamic, though. I did notice, you know, I stood around getting a drink beforehand and stuff. The people who had got there early were obviously the people that were quite conscious and quite didn't want to kick up a fuss and did want to just go in and show the rap, like the rap and everything. And most people were like still distancing. They were all wearing the masks and all this. And I thought, I am one of these. I've got in dead early to stand at the distance.
Yeah, you're one of the old dears that chucks a stink eye out in Waitrose going, not got a mask on.
I know.
Well, at least them who came a little bit late and to their place of employment and didn't get in, didn't kick up a stink, just put it on Instagram.
See, I don't know if he's explained it since. I did see that Che Dunkley wasn't allowed into the ground. Now,
deleted his tweet, didn't
he? Yeah, the way it was gagged about was that they didn't know who he was. Now, I don't believe that for a second. It's got to be a COVID protocol, right?
I think he said it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so funny, though.
His tack did change as the afternoon went on. Like, you know what I mean? It was in video himself going, can't believe that they won't let me in. They don't know who I am. Lol, lol, lol. And then about 3 hours later, you had to go, no, really, it was a COVID protocol. The lads just doing the jobs. And Amazing. Now, that was Plymouth 1-4-2, and a couple of results went our way, which then puts us towards looking at Oxford on Saturday, which has now become at that part of a bit of a six-pointer, if that's still a thing. I know six-pointers are usually reserved for the top and the bottom of the league, but when it comes to pushing into the playoffs, it's quite a big old fixture for us. Away at the, is it still the Kassam Stadium? Is that still a thing? Is that still what
it is indeed? Yeah.
Stevie, I don't think he'll change the team too much, will he?
I don't know how he can, to be honest with you. Why would he want to? After that performance,
It's Darren Moore, Steve. I don't know if you got the memo, but
I think the only thing that would sort of lend a sort of nod to changing the team would be we are going to be playing a hell of a lot of games in the next month or so, aren't we? With the games that we've got outstanding and the fixture backlog with Burton and Accrington coming in. Is it eight? I might be wrong. It's something like eight games in 24 days or something like that we've got to play. Is he going to start going, right, I'm going to look after players and I'm going to start planning for 3 games time and I'm going to do this, that, the other? I don't know what his mindset is. That would be the only thing that I think would change anything. I think there's a lot to be said for momentum. We've seen that when we were doing all right before Christmas, although we did draw against Wickham and we did get a point against Portsmouth. I thought the performances in those games sort of lent itself to that upward trajectory in terms of the morale of the club, certainly in terms of the fan base. I don't know why he'd want to change that. So I'd be inclined to think that he's probably going to keep it as close to what it is as he possibly can. I think the argument will be for Windass. He's probably going to try and manage him a little bit more in terms of the games that we've got coming up. You know, Luongo was fit enough to start the other day. He's had no adverse reactions as far as I'm aware. Same with Hutch. So I don't think that'll change. Mendes Lang, outstanding. Hunt, outstanding. I don't see what he's going to change up, to be honest with you.
The other thing is it a
Patterson
kind of game? That's all I can think.
Do you know, I forgot he played for us. Go on, Ash, sorry.
No game's a Patterson game.
Hey,
he's currently sat on Twitter knocking out tunes, isn't he?
Mate, it's my favourite Twitter, that.
He's brilliant.
Absolutely great. And my only thing, what Stevie was saying, was with the games coming up, is I hope he doesn't change it, because Oxford, like Dan said, they're in the same sort of position, quite close to us. I'd rather him try and change it if he had to lower position teams. I know it's you're saying you're going to easily beat them, and after one of our podcasters did some excellent homework on the group chat about how many points we've won against the top six, so. He'd try and keep the same team as much as possible, momentum wise, to anyone up and around us, and try and rest people on lower position teams. So hopefully on Saturday he'll keep 99% of the team.
Oh, yeah. Like, so, like I think you're right. I think So might make way for probably Windass or Patterson. You know what I mean? I think that land. Now, Steve, I'll tell you what. Do you want to tell us about your own work that Ash alluded to there? Because I found it fascinatingly interesting, I must admit. But just give us the gist of it, and we ain't got a whiteboard for you.
Oh, I knew you'd do that, so I screenshot it.
He's done really well.
Just out of curiosity.
He's really proud of himself.
He is.
Sunday
this is
was
what
great,
happened when a married man with twin daughters has a bath on his own. He's like, oh, I'm going to do some steps.
I think he got one of the pupils to just do you want some extra credits? Do you want to earn some extra credits?
I'll tell you what. Listeners, honestly, right? Me, Stevie and Ash are the absolute epitome of what it's like when you turn middle age. Ash has got right into steaming. I go to the gym and Stevie goes to really mass long baths for no reason apart from looking at statistics on the football team that he supports. Honestly, we are yards away from buying big, ridiculous cars and swapping our wives in for younger models or whatever. You know what I mean? We're going to start wearing cardigans. How many are you pair wearing slippers at the minute?
Bloody hell, Dan. Dan, if you swap yours in for a younger model, we'd be calling you Prince Andrew.
And I've already got a stupid car and all. So, yeah, so honestly, if any of you now are in your mid-30s and you're thinking, what's going to happen to me in the next 4 or 5 years?
And I hang around with you. I don't know what's more tragic.
In it. Go on, Steve. Tell us about your own work.
So it was actually Vic that triggered it. Vic, we were on Sunday morning. And
we were in the bath.
No.
Me and Vic. You were sat on the toilet. Just talking to you. Something to do.
It was just a random comment when she said, look how many games in hand that Wigan have got. We've got like 5 games in hand. And you know, they're right up there. How the hell are they up in the, you know, where they are? And I just thought, out of curiosity, how have we done against other teams?
Were you thinking about me in the bath, Steve?
Just give it, Steve. Just give it. Just say yeah.
He was laid there, floating away with his little bath bomb from Lush and his candles, and he went, I'll think about what Vic said earlier.
Right, let's talk more about the statistics rather than Steve's bath bombs.
Christ, that's not the title of tonight's.
That's a euphemism.
Jesus. I always sticks with me that we tend to do all right. Sunderland aside and Plymouth aside, when we've come up against the better sides in this league, we've always done all right. So I wanted to know how many points we picked up against the teams that we played. And if you took us as a mini league with Wickham, I think it is at the top of the league at the moment, isn't it? Right down to us in eighth. If you take every team that has played each other out of that top eight, I just thought, who has got the most points? Who has played the most games? Who has got the most points? What does it actually mean? And you can take it all with a pinch of salt. We've actually played 9 games along with Sunderland and Wickham. MK Dons have played 7, as have Wigan. Rotherham have played 6. Plymouth have played 8 games. MK Dons have played 7. Plymouth, for the 8 games that Plymouth have played against the top 8, they've taken 7 points.
Really? So they're just beating the teams that they should be beating?
They're beating the teams that we sulk about not beating, basically.
Right.
I'd do it in reverse order. 8th place, Plymouth. They've played 8 and got 7 points. Rotherham have played 6, so they haven't played many, but have got 8 points. You can take that with a pinch of salt. What does that mean? They beat teams that are beneath them. They beat the teams that they're expected to.
Rotherham have been having a good season, to be fair, aren't they?
Yeah. Wigan in 6th. They've played 7, got 10 points. Oxford, 8th. Have got 12 points. MK Dons have played 7, 13 points. And then you've got your top 3. 3rd place, Wickham, have played 9, 14 points. And then the top 2 teams in the league out of that mini-league of the top 8 are Sunderland with 17 points and us with 16.
Oh, wow. So we've been beating the bigger teams. Do you reckon that's a complacency issue, or do you reckon it's something where, because they play what's perceived as better football, you can, you know what I mean, you can raise your game? Is it a cup final to us, as it were? You know what I mean?
I have no idea.
Get in touch with the comments just below there. We're on YouTube if you want to get in.
I
don't forget to press the little bell.
I think the thing that I would take from that is that when we come up and we go, right, we've had a shit game against Morecambe. We've dropped points against Gillingham. We've done this, 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 and this. Oh Christ! It's Plymouth next week. It's Oxford Saturday. It's MK. It's whoever it is. I don't worry about those games because we always seem to turn up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, ironically, we had a conversation earlier in the season. I said when Oxford came to us, they absolutely steamrolled us. They got off the bus at 2:15. Carl Robinson was stood with a cup of tea on the pitch at 2:30 because they got stuck in traffic or whatever. They were off the pitch. They were in the kit, tracksuit, whatever. They were in the kit getting off the coach and going into the changing rooms. I'm thinking, by the way, we're having these today. We're absolutely having them because they're not ready. They absolutely battered us for the first 15, 20 minutes at our place. And I just thought, Christ, this is the team. This is the standard, the measure. Mm-hmm. I looked at Sunderland, no bother there. I looked at Wickham. I'm not worried about Wickham. I've looked at MK Dons, every team that we've played that are up there. The only one that I'd say gives me a little bit of sort of concern, I think we were quite lucky against Rotherham. And if you talk to Rotherham fans, they'd say that, you know, the penalty was an issue. The penalty save was an issue for them. And we rode our luck a little bit. But from my point of view, the teams that are up there, I don't worry about them. I think we're on paper as good as, if not better. And people will deride me and laugh at me because we've just got stuffed by Sunderland. That wasn't a 5-0 game. It weren't a 5-0 game.
No, it weren't. No, it weren't. That's some excellent work there, Steve. I'm actually impressed with you. Also reminds me of one time when I went to a house party and I got absolutely high as fuck. And I was there with a Bristol City fan, a Norwich fan, and a Crystal Palace fan. And we made what was called the Ornithology League, where we all looked how we did against each other because we had birds as our mascot. It was a whole thing. It was a whole thing. Now,
don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, don't, honest. Listen. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. Welcome back. I know you sat there thinking, you don't normally do advert breaks, but I've just been for one of them big 10-minute long dad peas. You know what I mean? You know the ones that just stop coming and you go, Christ, how much squash have I had? It's this new juice diet. That's what I'm blaming it on. Make sure I'm quite slippery and pliant and regular. I've had 2 pulls in a day today. I know.
Your prostate.
I know. It's good for me. Right. Well, where are we? Right. I tell you who signed a new contract, Ash. Kieran Brennan. What about that?
Yeah, good bit of business, isn't it?
I tell you what, I've come to you I've come to you with it, Ash. Now, is it a sign of the times? And I wanted to discuss the embargo, if anybody's got any information on it, that we've got, that our biggest signing of the month so far is literally a player we've already got.
Yeah, but how many times in the past has it slipped us by and some potential players? Because we don't know, do we, that the players that are left, obviously, like
Big O,
Shaw and Origidi, what they'd be. So it's good to tie him down. After the performance is played and the minutes is done, he's looked very assured. I think he's not put a mistake in him, really, at the minute. I think he's learning. It's good to tie him down young and... I think it's a good bit of business. Honestly, obviously, time will tell, but what I've seen of him personally, I think, yeah, it's better to give him another few years for him to develop than lose him now and him go on to, I don't know, Tranmere Rovers and fuck his career up.
Specifically Tranmere.
There's an estate agent in Glasgow that's fuming at the moment.
Sorry to all our Tranmere listeners. Sorry, Vic.
I'm not a Tranmere fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think because it, well, like you've just said, I mean, we can name how many players over the last few years, you know, from the dreaded George Hurst through to Sean Flair. And who else was there? There's been a couple, and they've all ended up at bloody Celtic.
Yeah.
Scotland. Oxford, we've got Jordan Thornley, he plays for them now. So it is nice. Like, he's not going to be a big earner. He's not going to be costing us mega bucks.
He's a very good squad player as well. If he comes on for your Johnsons and your Palmers and your Chase, I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, Christ, what are we doing?
Yeah, you know what I mean? We're also safe in the knowledge that he's come through the youth system, so he's also had a lot of the education.
That makes you safe in the knowledge?
No, but I mean, yeah. On an education side of things, we know that he's come through the system at Hillsborough that teaches him the club and how the club works, and they learn about media training, they learn about all these things that sometimes when you get certain kids who, you know, you kids that you pick up from a park or somewhere like that, or that brings
Prince Andrew documentaries in 16 minutes.
But, you know, like, do you know what I mean? Or they come in with a fancy agent, you know, Imre Varadi walks them in or whatever else. And they can sometimes have an attitude. They've not had that media training. They've not had that coaching. Whereas actually we know that he's come through our youth system. We've had quite a few good, solid professionals that have come through our youth system. And, you know, we've had Matty Hamshaw, we've had Sean McAllister, we've had Tom Spur, we've had Mark Beavers. Obviously,
we also had Stephen Aslam. And watching him and Peter Atherton play in the centre midfield.
Yeah, but he was a professional. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, we've still got Liam Palmer, Dawson, Wildsmith. And I think it's nice and it's testament that it's something that does happen in the lower leagues because of financial constraints, that you do rely on your academy a lot more. But I think that's quite a good thing. And it seems to be at the moment we've hit a bit of a peak again with the academy, because we had that time, didn't we, where we brought through Palmer, McAllister, Spur, Beavers.
Cecil Nione.
Old Cecil Nione. But there were quite a few, weren't there, that all kind of made it at one point and then have gone on to have quite fruitful careers. And it feels like we've kind of reached that again now, where we are bringing through quite a few youth players.
Yeah.
But it was a very similar league position then as well, and very similar financial position. So
absolutely. Yes, actually, yeah, you're right. Maybe when they're in the Championship, we don't really delve in that pot enough because we need them to be of a better standard. I'm gonna use your little speech there, Vic, as a segue. Now, there you mentioned Mark Beavers, who at one time was a transfer target to come back to the club, not about 10 years later on. One person, Stevie, that we were linked with this week didn't come back to the club, and that was Danny Bart. Are you going to lose any sleep about it?
No.
All right, sick.
Not really. I think for all the reasons that we've talked about tonight, in terms of, you know, the players that we've got, the players that are coming back in, it would have been nice. It was romantic, wasn't it? He was the player or play centre after, you know, I've just got the image of the Wickham game in 2012 and what have you. If nobody had mentioned his name before he signed for Sunderland today, I don't think it'd have been missed. I don't think anybody would have been on anybody's radar. I think the Brennan signing is probably a better bit of business given the circumstances that we're in. Bart would have commanded a little bit more money in terms of salary. You know, I don't necessarily, and Ben, if Ben were on, would be saying, Brennan's got to start, Brennan this, Brennan that, Brennan the other. He's not a starter.
There are a couple.
Yeah, quite possibly.
that's why so simplified.
Like that. he's a good backup, and it's a low stakes signing. Is Brennan, in the sense that he's going to get his feet under the table. He's going to have a look at, you know, developing himself. I don't think when everybody's fit, he's anywhere near the first sort of three back centre halves. If that's what we're playing. I think Danny Bart, when everybody is fit, would cause an additional headache. And I know that's going to be something that's going to be quite controversial in terms of people listening, thinking, be talking out your arse, he's a good player and he's done this and that. No, I'm not going to miss him. I'm not bothered necessarily. Beavers, I think, is a slightly different situation in that I don't think, respectfully, he's necessarily as high a profile. I don't necessarily think he's going to command as much of a transfer fee. If that was something that we're going to try and get over the line, I'm not against it. But again, you know, I think Johnson, as I said earlier, I think Johnson now has a position, and with somebody like Hutchinson, Dunkley, Iorfa playing in the middle of a three with Palmer on the other side, I think Johnson's he's found his position. So,
okay, fair enough. Anything to add, Ashley?
No, I totally agree with Steve. I think the names that obviously, like I said, that have been mentioned, if they did sign for Sunderland without mentioning Sheffield Wednesday, you wouldn't have gone, oh shit, there's one we've missed. But then again, if we are in the window for a centre back, I couldn't give you any names because I don't know. We need cover, but the person that comes in is going to be one of those where they come in, they're not going to be automatic first teamers. So who's going to want to come to a League One team and sit on the, who's not going to be paid? It's not like you're going to go to Newcastle and get paid X amount down the bench, you're going to be on bare minimum and not playing as well as often as you'd probably want to if you're 30 odd year old. Yeah. So I couldn't give you any name. I really couldn't. The young lad from, was it Brighton, is it? Roberts?
Yeah, we're linked with a guy from Brighton, aren't we, this
yeah,
this
I think week. Hayden Roberts, I think it was, something like that. Then maybe a younger guy that wants to play a few games and play for next to or behind people like Sam Hutchinson, who might learn from as well. So I think that's what Wednesday might look more at, rather than the 30-plus centre-halves.
Coming for a final payday.
Yeah, like, you know, Aidan Flynn, where he came, got injured, went back and had a stormer. But, yeah, I think they'll bring someone if they can, but I couldn't give you no names. And if we miss out on 10 centre-backs, it'd be, yeah, okay. So
we same also as what, forget how many players we signed during the last transfer window. It was absolutely astounding, wasn't it? It's
13,
not like
17.
Yeah.
Something like
Let's
that.
Let's just get more. Fuck it.
Right. That's the thing. Do you know what? Just on that, if we get to the end of the month when the deadline day is, if we don't sign it, I'll say it now. If we don't sign anyone, I'm not bothered. I'd be happier with the squad that we've got that is a little bit more settled. And if somebody said you're not going to sign anybody, but you'll keep Luongo, Hutch,
oh yeah,
Windass fit for the next 4 months,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fine. Fitness is the key. I think we've definitely got the squad. I just think it's the fitness.
But would any of you be saying this if we'd lost 4-2 on Saturday, or if we'd drawn 2-2 on Saturday?
But this, yeah. I don't think we would have done with those main players there.
I'm saying if we'd have lost the 2 points.
I'd have been fucking raging. How the bloody hell of Sunderland got Danny Barton? We haven't. Oh, load of old shit. More out. Come on, silly bastard.
We're so fickle.
Yeah.
Well, that's
we ain't losing. We weren't gonna, with that side out on Saturday, we weren't gonna lose. No. That's the thing, isn't it? So if we can keep those lads fit, we're not gonna go the rest of the season unbeaten with Luongo and Hutch and Windass in the team. But we will win significantly more games than we will lose. And it's to your point, we are fickle. We're an absolute shithouse of a set of fans on Twitter. But if we can keep them fit, we'll probably lose 3-4 games for the rest of the season. If we can be in and around the playoffs because we've drawn too many games without them, I'll call it. I've got no issue with saying it. Our backers in the playoffs with that squad.
Oh, I tell you what, Steve, somebody make a note of the date and time in which he said that, and we'll play it in a montage at the end of the season for the semi-finals, as Roy Archie used to call them.
Steve has already booked his hotel for the final.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's non-refundable, that's why he's so positive.
Right, we've got last couple of minutes. Vic, Oxford coming up. Are you worried based on Steve's bath time stats?
No, not particularly. It is what it is. It's one of those... I feel like a complete snob every time, but I look at these games that we're playing and I go, oh, really?
Yeah, bless them.
Do you know? Yeah. And actually,
but Oxford have turned us over before. Oxford.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And the only team to beat us at home this season.
Yeah, and I've said before, you know, we're in this position because we're just as bad as them. But it's still the arrogant 90s Sheffield Wednesday fan in me is going, bloody Oxford. Right, yeah. So, no, I'm not worried. I'll watch it.
Oh, give me a prediction.
2-1
to us. 2-1 to the Wendy. Stevie?
Given all the positivity today, I'd be happy with a draw.
Right. Ash?
I say this, I say every time that I venture out and watch the Mighty Owls on the road, the best win. So I think it's going to be 2-0.
I'm going to go 3-0 because I'm optimistic and you're all miserable. And I'm not miserable.
I said 2-0.
I know. Clean sheets, mate. Clean sheets, BPF back in form. That's what's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks a lot for joining us. Hopefully we won't have to play Plymouth again and talk about that. Or what we should now call it is the Raider Johnson Derby. Have a good time. See you later.
The Wednesday Week. Grab a pint, get comfy, and enjoy the show.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Le Bosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.